Thanks, Ken. Hey, everybody. Pardon me. Hi, Mom. Hi, Cheryl. Hi, Ken. Hi, folks in radio and recording land. Connie is not here tonight because my little sister Katie is in the hospital, and Connie's at the hospital with her. So, yeah, I just want to send my love out to them and know that all is well. I will start with a prayer, in addition to the one that I just sent out. I want to express my gratitude for the opportunity to teach what I would learn, and invite inner wisdom into this space, hope like heck it overrides the thinking mind. So, in love and gratitude, amen. Marge Sherrill's saying hi to you. I know Marge had a situation where she wasn't able to type for a while. So, now what I want to do is our friend Linda Gardner. Wrote me a lovely messenger message, and I got it last night after we got home. We drove to La Vida last night in crazy conditions, the ice-covered roads, but we did fine. But we drove down to La Vida and took a snowblower down there to Sherrill. So I got in late, and I got this message from Linda, and it included a song that she has written. Now, she didn't say whether or not this was her singing the song, but she did say, "Share it as I saw fit." So I see fit, and I am going to change screens here and share the song with you.
You are the light of God.
That was something, wasn't it? Woohoo! That was really, really inspiring. So thank you, Linda, for sending that to us and sharing that with us. Again, it's Don't Be Afraid by Linda Gardner. Awesome. Thank you so much. Let's look at NTI. We're on page 407 of the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. Yes, we are. We're in NTI Hebrews chapter 7. And I guess you guys are still here with me. Can I get an amen? Okay, good. thank you. Hallelujah. All right, so here we go. I am actually going to back up, and Ken, I appreciate you posting where we left off last week, because if I didn't look it up, I wouldn't know. Oh, nice, Cheryl. Yeah, Cheryl's getting real settled in there in Levita. A real sweet space for her there, so. Good for you, Cheryl. She's moving to the fireplace area, she says. All right. Excuse me. So at any rate, I'm going to back up to, for context here, to page 406, NTI, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Let go the thought of dreams. The thoughts and beliefs come from dreams do not lead to awakening. They lead you to be caught up longer within the story of your dreams. Look around you now and listen clearly to what I say. Nothing you see is real. Nothing you see has any real value at all. Realize this is true because it is a dream. And you know, this reminds me of what we've been looking at this week for gentle healing with Revelations. You know, there are some outrageous things written in the Bible in Revelations. And as you guys probably are aware, Ann and I do these lessons together in the tips, of course, in the Thoughts of Awakening together most mornings. And, you know, we giggle at some of the what seems like silly stuff in what it's written in the Bible. I mean, there's certainly a time when I would have read it. And maybe even did read it and found it fearful or fear-inducing. But it has said on more than one occasion, you know, this is meaningless. The only meaning that can be given to it is through interpretation. And what Regina has done with NTI is to give us the right-minded interpretation of those scriptures. And in fact, we even got an opportunity this week to give our own right-minded interpretation, and you know, right mind, inner wisdom from the heart, right interpretation of one of the passages from Revelations. I realized that I didn't finish my story. I was talking about Ann and I looking at these in the morning, and Ann said something like, well, this seems like a strange way to end this great book, talking about, you know, Revelations. And I'm like, well, it was an awfully strange way to end the Bible. It's just really amazing that my understanding is there was some kind of council that determined what would go in the Bible and what would stay out. It's just amazing that they determined to put this just bizarro dream in there. You know, the whole thing starts with this somebody, and I don't know who it is. You all may, and if you may, If you do, feel free to tell me. But some guy going, I had a bizarre dream, let me tell you about it. And then it takes up all this room in the Bible, and consequently it's taking up are not the correct words here. It's been interpreted for us by Regina in NTI. But I have had some stuff coming up, and I think that it's the BNN being in the study of Revelation is exactly where I need to be right now. I've had some really dark, I've been looking at some really dark things that have been coming up for me. So it's helpful to be reminded both here and in Revelation that it's not real, that there's no meaning to it, that it doesn't mean anything. It's like you have heard me use this quote before. It's like when Trinity says to Neo in the Matrix, he says, "What does that mean?" And she said, "It means the Matrix cannot tell you who you are." Right? I once believed in something, and it doesn't say anything about who I am. It's simply there to show me the meaninglessness of the Matrix, of the world, of the dream. So I might not have read this the same 3 or 4 days ago, but that's the way it reads to me now. Or last week when Connie and I looked at this. And by the way, guys, since I'm solo teaching tonight, of course it's always true, but particularly since I'm solo teaching tonight, I would encourage you to, if you have something you want to share, to raise your hand and I'll turn the mic over to you and we'll hear your take on it. All right. Welcome, George. Okay, so let's look at this again. Look around you now and listen clearly to what I say. Nothing you see is real. Nothing you see has any real value at all. Realize this is true because it is a dream. Look within the mind at the thoughts that make you proud and make you happy at the thought of being you. Look at those thoughts which you judge as good, which make you feel better or luckier than someone else you know. Look at those thoughts and listen clearly to what I say. Those thoughts have no value. Those thoughts are nothing but the dust of dreams. And again, particularly with this, I could call them dark thoughts, but and I will probably talk about this some more in when I share from my journal tomorrow. In my designated time for doing that, I will look at this a little bit more in depth, probably. I just found some cruelty, some cruel tendencies in me that, well, I'd rather deny we're there than acknowledge them and let them go, right? So while Regina was writing this, she was looking at thoughts that made her different from, separate from others, in the sense that, she's better than these other people, right? Make you proud, make you happy at the thought of being you. Make you thoughts you judge as good, make you feel better or luckier than someone else you know, right? So that's what Regina was looking at. For me, it's the flip side of that. Thoughts that make me feel less than, thoughts that make me feel unworthy, thoughts that make me feel unredeemable, irredeemable. Thank you, Ken. John the Apostle is credited for authoring Revelations. Whew. Well, that man's nightmares are worse than mine, I can say. Oops, I'm better than him. So anyway, the point I was making was that whether their thoughts, and Connie has always said this, right? The ego doesn't care whether you're a good mother or a bad mother, right? It just wants to judge you in relation to something, right? It just wants to separate you from others. In fact, when I looked at this idea of being cruel, at there being some attraction in the idea of cruelty, it was in, the attraction was in the idea of being the felt sense of that how somehow making me powerfully separate from others. So so it's no surprise I'm sitting here reading this and talking to you about this because this is exactly the same thing. Somehow, because I'm better than someone else, right? Which is what I'm attempting to exhibit when I'm being cruel to someone else. That makes me powerfully separate from that person. As inner wisdom tells us here at the top of page 407, those thoughts have no value. Those thoughts are nothing but the dust of dreams. Holy Spirit goes on to say, can you imagine letting go completely that which you seem to value? Can you imagine closing your eyes and letting it fade completely away? If you can imagine letting it go, feeling peace and no loss in the imagining, you are preparing to wake up from dreams. Can you let go of this person, this experience, or this way of being? Can you let it go that you may be only that which is truth? And frankly, these lines follow very well on the heels of looking at, oh, gee, look how lucky I am, or how special I am, right? To use the course's words. But can you let go of that idea? Special or unworthy, or two sides of that coin, right? Of that coin of separate from others, different than others. Who would I be if I were able to let that idea go? That I'm somehow separate from you, that somehow at some fundamental level I am separate from you. Who would I be without that idea? Wow, that really opens up the possibilities, doesn't it? I mean, because in that thought, there's no one to protect, whether for good or for bad. If I'm thinking that I'm scum of the earth, lower than trash, then I'm seeking to protect your finding that out. So there's something to protect. Oh my God, if they find this out. Right. They won't tune in next week. Or if you think that you're better than someone else, you've got that's an image that's got to be protected too. You've got to work, to ward off any cognitive dissonance, right? Anything that would say, no, you didn't do that very well. You missed that. You were supposed to, I don't know, file the taxes in the right quarter and you filed them in the wrong quarter. I guess you're not as smart as you thought you were. I mean, so it's always a protection. And whether you're protecting yourself from being found out that you're worse than everybody else, or whether you're really trying to protect that self-image and continue to convince yourself that you're better than everybody else. So who would you be without that? Well, you wouldn't be maintaining that character, would you? Hey, Anne. You'd be free to experience what came up as it came up. Can you let go of this person, this experience, or this way of being? Can I let go of the need to maintain, to groom this self that I'm going to present to the world? The one who doesn't have thoughts of cruelty, right? Or the one who's better and smarter and prettier and, I don't know, wiser? Well, that's smarter, isn't it? Can I let go of that need to maintain the self-image that I would present to the world? Can you let it go that you may be only that which is truth? Well, gosh, I mean, particular example of myself that I'm using, what is the truth? I recognize cruelty in me. Well, first of all, let me say that's not something really that I want to acknowledge, But if I let go of the person who's not cruel, who can't find cruelty in them, because that's not true, because I see it there. If I let go of that person, what's left? Well, let's see. Right? I mean, that's the point, isn't it? It's the direct experience of the truth of my being. It's not the direct experience of who I want to be. It's not the direct experience of who Regina Don Acres is. It's not the direct experience of who Ramana Maharshi is. It's my direct experience. Anne's the dyad queen. We're going to give you that title, Anne. Anne's the dyad queen. But Anne will tell you that that's what's going on in these dyads. You have this stuff come up. You say what you're feeling and what's coming up and what's not true about you so that you can have the direct experience of what is true about you. What's left after I, dredge this stuff up? Look at these things that I believe. What's left after they've been said out loud? And I'll let you choose your own title if you don't want to be Dyad Queen. So, can you let go of this person, this experience, or this way of being? Can you let it go that you may be only that which is truth? So, it's got to come up. Whatever your false impressions of who you are in the soul of your being, in the depths of your being, that's got to come up in order to have that direct experience. If I let go of that idea, and it's as I was looking at this today, I pulled up, I had no idea that this was online, but Byron Katie's The Work website has a worksheet for letting go one belief at a time, which I love because I often quote Byron Katie on that, because that's her definition of enlightenment, right? Letting go one belief at a time. You become enlightened to one belief at a time. And so there's a worksheet on it where she does, the turnaround on it, and who would I be if I let go of that thought? But this is saying the same thing. Who would I be if I no longer let that thought remain hidden, that hidden belief about myself? That belief that at bottom, Jacqueline is cruel, selfish. Okay, it's up. There it is. It's on the public airwaves. It's got to come up to be looked at. So, can you let it go that you may be only that which is truth? When you say yes, you shall be ready to awaken. Until then, practice awakening when you can. So, Yeah, just give me a second here to. Don't leave. Yeah, and Anne and I were talking about this a little bit this morning, and Anne, again, I appreciate your assistance with this, but Anne's talking about if gosh, how did she say it? If you hadn't really believed in the powerfulness of cruelty at some point and participated in it. If you hadn't fed that back into the code, and Anne, I apologize if I paraphrase wrong, but if you hadn't really believed this about yourself to the extent that this is what you exhibited and fed into the one mind, then it wouldn't be coming up now to be healed or something like that. And I'm like, oh, I didn't say that to Anne. Oh. But I didn't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Of course I do, Anne. Don't get me wrong, I do. That's what's so valuable about having mighty companions on this path. But there's certainly ego doesn't want any part of that. What an ego would rather do is go, I'm not guilty. But all the time telling Jacqueline, yeah, you're really guilty, but we're gonna cover this back up again, so you don't have to feel the pain of that guilt. Ego doesn't want to sit with it. But can I sit with it? Can I look with it? Can I be willing that it be healed and demonstrate my willingness through sitting with it? Sitting with it, looking at it. When have I been cruel? How have I been cruel? How does that make me feel? Who would I be without the thought that I am irredeemably guilty for having been cruel? So it's when you're willing to look at these things that make you different, be they good or bad, quote unquote. That make you better than or make you worse than. It's when you're willing to look at these things that you can awaken until truth, unto truth. When you say yes, you shall be ready to awaken. Until then, practice awakening when you can. That's interesting. So maybe, so maybe you're not willing to sit with it. Well, practice awakening to the extent you can. Dreams of the past must fade away as you let go, as you're willing to look at them and see them for what they are. As you let go, they disappear into nothingness. As you hold on, they continue through the freedom of your holy desire. it's really funny to be looking at this passage in the reverse, right? Because we think, gosh, if I'm thinking good things about myself, that's the only thing that I'm not going to want to let go. But if I'm thinking bad things about myself, yeah, I definitely want to let them go. Well, yeah, sweet. So beautiful. Cheryl says non-attachment. Yeah, so we don't seem like we're attached to our ugly thoughts, our ugly beliefs about ourselves. But we remain attached to them to the extent that, we don't want to bear the pain of looking at them. And that's attachment too. Dreams of the past must fade away. As you let go, they disappear into nothingness. As you hold on, they continue through the freedom of your holy desire. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are his son forever. Because of this oath, you are your own truth. And you shall know it when you are fully ready to know it is so. But as long as you value anything else, that else shall seem to be yours also. Again, I just think that this is a perfect, this example is a perfect platform, whatever, to look at this from. You are your own truth, and you shall know it when you are fully ready to know it is so. What's standing between me and the knowing of my truth? My belief that I'm something other than the truth. I can't let go of those beliefs if I can't look at them. It says, as long as you value anything else, that else shall seem to be yours also. So what do I value here? I value not being cruel, right? I value having you guys think of me as someone who's, oh my God, that would never enter her pretty little head, right? To be cruel to somebody? Oh gosh, not her. You know, what do I value? I value my self-image. And I can't sit in secret and have these thoughts come up and hope to keep them secret and experience healing, because if I keep them secret I can't see that they're not so. That's repression. That's holding on to it. So, let go of dreams to know yourself, capital S self, completely free of your dreams. Because of who you are, this is truly the only way. Who would I be without these thoughts that I'm something that I'm not? Jay told me how to pronounce his name last week. Melchizedek. Melchizedek and Jesus have joined within the mind that is you. One was a symbol in the beginning, and the other is the symbol of the completion of you. Jesus is the symbol of the truth of you. Jesus is the symbol of the awakened. He has let go of dreams and holds only to truth. Jesus is a light in your mind. Jesus lives in your mind as a symbol of all that is true. Look beyond dreams to the heart that shines within. This heart has let go of all dreams forever. Dreams mean nothing to it anymore. This heart is at the heart of you. And so when I was looking at these ideas of cruelty in me, that was the guidance that I got from inner wisdom. You know, look again at these thoughts, sit in your heart, from a position of sitting in your heart. Right? What do you find there? What I find there is that I want love, peace, kindness, joy for everyone that I meet. And there's no, I have no question about that. There's absolutely no question about that in my heart. My heart knows the truth. My heart knows my true desire. The heart of us all knows that our true desire is not to be seen as benevolent, smart, whatever, whatever the adjectives are that you want to use. That's not the true desire. You know, We watch, we go on Facebook and we watch these, I do, I don't know if you guys do or not, these feel-good stories, there's a deer caught in the ice and these guys are like freeing the deer from the ice, or there's baby bear cubs that have been split off from their mama and somebody puts a ladder up and gets them out. And all these feel good things, they feel good for a reason. They feel good because that's the truth that we know in our hearts. That's the reason that we love these feel good movies. That's the truth that's in our hearts. That's what we resonate with. There's a place where that knowledge is stored for us within us. And that's the truth of who we are. And you know that resonance, as do I. Again, NTI says, look beyond dreams to the heart that shines within. This heart has let go of all dreams forever. Dreams mean nothing to it anymore. This heart is at the heart of you. That takes us to NTI Hebrews chapter 8. Unless somebody has a comment, something you want to share, I'd be happy to turn the mic over to any and all of you. NTI Hebrews chapter 8. The point of what I'm saying is this. Oh, good, the point. You know your true desire because it lives within you. When you are aware of it, you know that it is true. Absolutely. That's exactly my experience. That was exactly my experience when the instruction was to go and look at these thoughts from the heart. You know your true desire because it lives within you. When you are aware of it, you know that it is true. This is what I am saying. Jesus lives in your mind as a symbol of truth because Jesus has let go and is no longer dreaming. If he was here in the dream with you, he would be a reflection of the dreams in your mind. Because he is not, you know that he must be awakened, and you listen to his voice willingly along with mine. Jesus does not speak in words when he speaks clearest to the mind that is your heart. Jesus speaks as a knowing. And there was a time when Jesus was my go-to guy. when I could just have a conversation with Jesus. When I asked Jesus to teach me to meditate, and Jesus did. It's funny, as I'm saying this, I'm looking over and I got Jesus meditating. That's so sweet. A statue that, shoot, I can't think of his name, in India, made for me. Jesus meditating. Shiva. So there was certainly a, yeah, Shiva, yeah. There was certainly a time when, for me, Jesus was that knowing space in my mind. It looks like there was a time for Regina when Jesus was that knowing space in her mind, in her heart. And that's what's being discussed here. Jesus speaks as a knowing. And because it is a knowing that you know, you realize in your knowingness that this knowing is a knowing that is true. Follow it to your truth. In its knowingness, the voice without words leads you there. What do we know? Another quote from Matrix just came in my mind. What do we know, balls to bones, right? What do we know through and through and through? This is what we know. This is the truth that we know. This, it's amorphous. I don't know that I can. But you know it when you feel it, the truth in your heart. That's the direct experience of the truth of your being. So follow this knowingness to your truth. In its knowingness, the voice without words leads you there. This is the truth that you must know, because it is written on your heart and cannot be unknown there. All dreams must pass away. If you are to pass beyond dreams, you must not pass away with them. The only way to not pass with them is to not be attached as they pass away on their own. Let them go. Dreams will go on their own if you do not struggle to hold to them. And so, again, I mean, I'm so blessed, to be able to be looking at this right now with the thoughts that are in the mind. Because while this was talking to Regina about, these good thoughts, quote unquote good thoughts, I'm really seeing here that, this struggle to hold on to them is the struggle to keep them hidden, right? From me, from you, from the world at large. And Regina and I talked about this a little bit today, and she was talking about how those types of thoughts passed for her. And she said, I can't tell you about a cataclysmic moment, when they went, okay, they're gone. It's more of a fading away. And that's what this says. Let them go. Dreams go on their own if you do not struggle to hold to them. And the struggle and the denial of those thoughts, of the beliefs about what I am, the denial of those thoughts, and the attempt to keep them hidden is holding on to them. This is the truth you must practice within your dreams. See yourself letting go of every person, every concept, and everything. Every thought, every belief. Be willing to hold on to nothing, and you are willing to awaken from dreams. Gosh, do you remember when A Course in Miracles told us that? First time we read that in A Course in Miracles, talked about until you're willing to let everything you now value go, you're not going to get it. Or that's not a direct quote, as you can tell. It's like, hey, wait a minute. There's lots of stuff I don't want to let go of. I don't want to let go of my husband. I don't want to let go of my kids. I don't want to let go of my mama. I don't want, whatever. I don't want to let go of my job. I don't want to look at these ugly thoughts. But this is the truth you must practice within your dreams. See yourself letting go of every person, every concept, and everything. Be willing to hold on to nothing, and you are willing to awaken from dreams. Take this opportunity to be honest and exercise with yourself. Yeah, and I encourage you guys to really ask yourself this question. If you're reading along, you know what the question is. If not, here it comes. Take this opportunity to be honest and exercise with yourself. What is it that you do not want to let go? What is it that you do not want to let go? What is it within dreams that you have put your faith and trust in? If there's anything you trust to be true within dreams, that is the thought of dreams for you. That was a weird sentence, so let me read it again. I think I get the gist, but the sentence seems strange to me. If there's anything you trust to be true within dreams, that is the thought of dreams for you. Well, if one of you guys want to take a crack at that sentence, I'm more than happy to turn the mic over to you to do it. Let me finish the paragraph. Be willing to let that thought go, and you give willingness to awaken fully from dreams. Yes, Anne, I'll read it again. It says, if there is anything you trust to be true within dreams, that is the thought of dreams for you. So it was preceded by, what is it that you do not want to let go? What is it within dreams that you have put your faith and trust in? And actually, I'm glad I read that again. What are you putting, what's in your wallet? What are you putting your trust in? Am I trusting, am I trusting that I am who these thoughts tell me I am? Am I trusting that it's important that these thoughts be protected and be kept secret because what's really important is my self-image? What are you putting your faith and trust in is really the question, I think. Do you agree? Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so wherever you're putting your faith and trust is the thought of dreams for you. Be willing to let that thought go. Right? That this is important. What are you valuing? As a course would say, be willing to let that value go, that thought that that's valuable go, and you give willingness to awaken fully from dreams. That takes us to page 409 of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. NTI Hebrews chapter 9. Sorry, I was distracted by the something on the board. Okay. NTI Hebrews chapter 9. Oh, we've got a little Bible verse here, so let me look that up. It is Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And as you know, we like to look, or I like to look at that in the NIV, New International Version. It's called Worship in the Earthly Tabernacle. It's verses 1 through 10. So it says, now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up. In its first room were the lampstand and the table with its consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place, which had the golden altar of incense and the gold-covered Ark of the Covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover. But we cannot discuss these things in detail now. That seemed like a lot of detail to me. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry. But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still functioning. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. They are only a matter of food and drink and various ceremonial washings, external regulations applying until the time of the new order. Yeah, what the heck, right? Again, I'm amazed that any truth can come from that at all, because that sure sounds like gobbledygook to me. So let's see what Holy Spirit told Regina about that. It says, the covenant of the first order, that is, the covenant symbolized by the covenant given to Moses, is preparation for the covenant of the new order. But both the covenant of the first order and the covenant of the new order are within the dream, for no covenant is needed when the dream is no more. Each covenant is a symbol of your willingness and your readiness to awaken. The first covenant is the covenant of respect. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. It's funny, this came up in my journaling today. The first covenant is the covenant of respect, where you recognize a sameness among you and your brothers. And so you agree to treat them with the respect and treatment that you would have given to you. This is a holy covenant. It need not be broken as you mature within the understanding of your truth. Yeah, and Connie and I talked about this, well, we've talked about it on multiple occasions, but we talked about it again last week when we were talking about that exercise that she had given us a while back, Connie had, about you know, our inclination. It seems like the natural inclination. It's not natural, but that's what we might gather. You know, our natural inclination to... seemingly natural inclination to distinguish ourselves from others. I'm better than him. I'm worse than her. My dress is prettier than hers. Whatever, you know, this comparison thing that we seem to do as humans, right? Instead of looking for the sameness. And so the exercise that Connie had given us was in your encounters to that, look for the sameness with your brothers. This idea of respect is, my attention was drawn to that because that did come up in my journaling, about this issue I was talking with you guys about earlier. That this respect is just, you know, if I have these thoughts about myself, then I'm unable to respect myself. And that feeds into my ability to show that same respect to other people. Anyway, it's just real sweet to see here that the first covenant is this recognition of the sameness of us all. uh, How has your guys' awakening been? Is a question on the board. Rough. This week, rough. Let me read this second covenant here before we close out this program. The new covenant. The new covenant is greater than the first, for the new covenant symbolizes advancement from the understanding of sameness to the acceptance of oneness. I talked about that last week, right? There's only one thing going on here. It's impossible that I'd be better than or worse than my brother. There's only one thing going on here. There's one mind. The new covenant symbolizes advancement from the understanding of sameness to the acceptance of oneness. This is the most holy covenant within the dream. For within the acceptance of this oneness, all sins are forgiven. Because it is accepted and understood that sin could never have existed. You are advancing in your maturity. Through your willingness, you are advancing to full acceptance of your truth. You know, I was talking earlier about confronting some of these tendencies toward cruelties, toward cruelty I found within myself. And much of those tendencies are in addition to being cruel to others, self-cruelty. Being cruel to myself, with myself. The truth is that's always the case, right? So anyway, let me just I'm just gonna read these last two paragraphs and then sign off. Each covenant is a symbol of your willingness and your readiness to awaken. The first covenant is the covenant of respect, where you recognize the sameness among you and your brothers, and so you agree to treat them with the respect and treatment that you would have given to you. This is a holy covenant. It need not be broken as you mature within the understanding of your truth. The new covenant is greater than the first, for the new covenant symbolizes advancement from the understanding of sameness to the acceptance of oneness. This is the most holy covenant within the dream. For within the acceptance of this oneness, all sins are forgiven, because it is accepted and understood that sin could never have existed. You are advancing in your maturity. Through your willingness, you are advancing to full acceptance of your truth. All right, I'm going to leave it there, guys. I love you, and I will see you next time around. Thanks for being here with me. Bye.